Doctors tell me, and my doctor has told me, that a blockage in your heart can go unnoticed for years. You're going about and you're eating your fried chicken and you are playing your little video games and you are swimming in the swimming pool and you look pretty good. And then all of a sudden, when you're not expecting it, you start, and I've never had one and I never want one, so I don't know what it feels like. Your heart starts attacking and you're feeling awful and you like, something's got a hold of me. But what doctors say is the attack, it did not just happen. It came about gradually and slowly, and it was just building, and you didn't know anything about it, and you didn't do anything about it. Well, when we come to John chapter 13, Judas is sitting at the table with Jesus one moment, and a few hours later, he's bringing soldiers into the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. This is not a sudden spiritual attack. It had been building. It had been growing, and it had been coming on. Greed had been there in his life. Unbelief had been there in his life. Self-interest had been there in his life. The blockage had been forming for years. But on this night, it says, the devil entered into his heart. It says, verse 2, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. John pulls back the curtain and he shows us what's going on spiritually in the heavenlies and also what's going on in Judas's heart. And I just want you to learn, and I've been studying, so that we can protect our greatest asset, our heart. So this morning, three digressions in a battle with Satan. Sermon I've entitled, Heart Attack. First truth I want you to see. Notice the capture of Judas's heart. John 13, verse 2, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Notice where Satan begins. Doesn't say he put betrayal into Judas's hands. Doesn't say he put betrayal into Judas's mouth. It said he put betrayal into his heart. You say, why would Satan put it into his heart? Because he knows if he can get some influence in your heart, eventually your whole life is going to follow. Your feet are going to follow. Your mouth is going to follow. Your hands are going to follow. Your eyes are going to follow. Before sin appears publicly, usually it is accepted privately. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Remember Eve in the garden? Before she ever took a bite of that forbidden fruit, she allowed Satan into her heart, and she doubted God. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in the first church, Acts chapter 5, verse 3? Peter asked, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? The lie was the outward evidence of what was going on in their heart. So we see Judas. Before Judas ever betrayed Jesus in the garden, he allowed Satan into his heart and he believed the lie. The kiss in Gethsemane was only the final act. It had been developing for some time. Hearts, I'm told, rarely change suddenly. It's gradual. It's little by little, inch by inch. It's true in life and it's true spiritually. A thought just comes into your mind and you let it lodge there. And that thought becomes an attitude. And now you're sporting an attitude. And the longer you sport that attitude becomes into a desire. Not only are you just wearing it on your sleeve, now you want it. And that desire, when you just keep craving it, it becomes a habit. And that habit, as long as you keep on with it, becomes a destiny. Most people do not wake up one day and destroy their marriage. Starts gradually. It starts little by little. It starts inch by inch. But it grows, and it festers, and it increases. How many of you have ever been on a big old cruise ship? I'm taking a spiritual survey here. Raise your hand. Look at all those cruisers. You know that big old boat? I am told that that big old boat weighs tens of thousands of tons. Big old boat. Thing I like about those big old boats is the restaurants where you can eat a whole lot of food. Can I get a witness out there? I'm told that that big old boat, you see it at the back of it? It's controlled. Big old boat, tens of thousands of tons, hundreds of feet long. Controlled by a little rudder, not that wide. Pretty long, but not that wide. Controls a whole boat. So it is with your heart. You let Satan set up in your heart. Someone mistreats you. Just not right. And that becomes an attitude. And the attitude starts to fester and grow. And you are bitter and you're angry and you're mean. Lust. You see something, you look at something, you know you probably shouldn't. But long after you're gone from looking at it, you're still dwelling, you're still, and it festers and it grows and it metastasizes. That's what happens. That's why the proverb says, keep your heart with all diligence. Number one, the capture of your heart. Secondly, look at it. Cultivation of your heart. Supper's ended. The devil's already put it in Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Satan did not create something in Judas that wasn't already there. He found something already in Judas's heart that he could cultivate. You say, what are you talking about? John chapter 12, verse 6, which is the page before. John gives us some insight into what was going on in Judas's heart long before he kissed Jesus to betray him. It says, then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. The betrayal in chapter 13 was merely the fruit. The root had been growing internally for a long time. Before Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, he had been stealing from the money bag for quite some time. Listen, public collapse was preceded by private compromise. And a lot of times that's the way it happens. We just start dabbling. We just start sticking our toe into the water. We just start going in gradually. And before long, we are overtaken and we're overwhelmed. The boys and I, for the last week, the boys and I a little bit, have been cleaning out brush. And we have this, it's not a creek, it's a branch, the way the old timers call it. But that branch, it gets water in during the wet, rainy season that we're not in right now. And all of this brush has grown up. I should have taken a picture so you could see how bad it was. Boys work really hard. I encourage them to work really hard. And a long, long branch, long, right behind Kevin Cheek's house, long branch. And there's just all kinds of nasty, all kinds of gross, and all, a week. And they're still not finished with it yet. Why? Because something little started there and grew and grew and grew. And those little bitty twigs are now, pardon my grammar, honking big trees. They're making great progress. They're not done yet. And we do the same thing in our lives. It's not that bad. I can look at this. I can think this. I can participate in this. And those little twigs, they grow and they grow and they grow and they overtake. What makes cultivated sin dangerous is that it becomes normal. Judas could steal from the back and still go to church where Jesus taught. It was just normal now. He could hear Jesus preach and harbor greed in his heart. He could sit at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ and have rebellion in his heart. For probably 10 years, those little twigs have been growing in our little branch and getting bigger, and we just ignored them, and we just ignored them, and we just ignored them. And the boy said, "Dad, you need to continue to ignore." And I was like, no. There's a reckoning coming, boys, and it's this week, and you're going to get her done. And they did. Likewise, a bitter spirit is cultivated, and it grows in our lives. And it terrorizes Christians all over this community, all over this congregation. Jealousy. Why did he get that and I didn't? And Satan sees that it's in our heart, and he comes and he cultivates it. An unforgiving spirit. Well, they did me wrong. They mistreated me. They didn't do this, or they should have done that. And Satan comes along and he cultivates it. A greedy spirit. I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to have more. Whatever is tolerated eventually becomes established. And he said, well, it's not that bad. It may be a tiny little sapling, but it's going to grow. And it's going to, y'all need to come to our house. Tracy didn't have enough food to feed all of you, but just to see our cleared branch, because you can clean it up. You can pull all that junk out, but you got to say, I'm not going to ignore it anymore because it's taken over. I'm going to take back my life. Judas's tragedy was not that Satan approached him. Satan approached every one of the disciples. His tragedy was that he had cultivated a heart where Satan's suggestion found reception. And it took ground, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Number two, the cultivation of the heart. You say, all right, what do I have to do to clean it up, to get all this stuff out of my life? Number three, notice the control of your heart. The remedy for a heart enamored by Satan is not you just trying harder. Judas teaches us that outward proximity to Jesus is not enough. You have to clean out your heart. Judas' greatest problem was not that Satan put something in his heart. Judas' real problem was he had never surrendered his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. A heart under Satan's control and influence does not need correction. It needs a new ruler. Somebody to come in and say, that needs to go. That's out of bounds. That's wrong. We're cleaning up my heart. And that's what I'm asking every one of you to do, is to come and say, God, I'm putting you in charge, and I need you to clean up my heart. You say, how do I do it? All right, here's the first one. You ready? Repentance. Where you realize you have let some root of bitterness, some grievance, some besetting sin take root in your heart. Maybe it was 30 years ago. Maybe it was 3 years ago. But you just repent. I'm sorry. It's not just feeling bad about the sin. It's agreeing with God about the sin and saying, it's wrong. God does not approve of this, and I'm doing an about face. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, it's wrong. You said it was wrong. I agree with you. Now listen. John 13, Peter and Judas both sin grievously. The difference, Peter, when confronted with his sin, ran to Jesus. Judas ran away from Jesus. So it's repentance. God, I have allowed greed. God, I have allowed anger. God, I have allowed selfishness. Now, don't sit here in your Sunday clothes and say, Satan fights all of us for our heart. What's the little twig that needs to be rooted up? Or what's the big boulder that needs to be rooted up? Repentance. Number two, not only repentance, there's regeneration. A heart controlled by Satan needs a new heart. If you have never been born again, Satan is controlling your heart. If there is no fruit whatsoever in your heart of a Christian life, there's a good reason for it, and more than likely, you don't know Jesus. Exodus chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. The gospel is not behavior modification. It's where your heart is transformed. It's where God takes that hard, bitter, mean heart, and he gives you a brand new heart. Religion, it'll clean you up on the outside. Salvation changes you on the inside. Have you ever been born again? Has God taken control and changed your heart? Judas, he had religion. He could dress up. He could talk the part. But he had never been born again by Christ. What do I have to do? It's repentance. It's regeneration. If you've never been saved, it's where you accept Christ as your Savior. Thirdly, it's surrender. A lot of times, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. You just surrender, God, whatever you want. I'm going to do it your way. Believers must continually surrender their hearts to Christ. Every day there is a choice. Who's going to control your life? Are you going to control it? Or are you going to allow God to control your life? Repentance, regeneration, surrender. Romans 6:13 says, yield yourselves to God. And the fourth one is this. It's being filled with the Spirit. It's a filling. The answer is not just getting the sin out. The answer is letting Jesus in and filling your heart. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. So therefore, instead of letting anger, instead of letting wrong priorities, greed, or whatever, fill your heart, you're letting the Holy Spirit of God fill it. Think about it. When the Word fills your heart, when prayer fills your heart, when praise fills your heart, you don't have room for anything else to fill your heart because it's already full. The lesson from John 13, verse 2 is pretty simple. Whatever fills your heart will eventually direct your life. Thank God for cold water. Amen. I probably could get a pretty good price of money right now to sell you this water. Here's the deal with the cup. It spills whatever it contains when it's bumped. So if I'm up here holding the water and somebody comes in here and tries to tackle me, you know what's going to happen to this water? It's going to spill and it's going to go everywhere. What happens to you when you're bumped? Does Jesus come out? Or does Satan come out? What happens to you when you're, and this is getting close to home, when you're cut off in traffic? And I'm like, I use that tool that General Motors gave me, the horn. Ah! What comes out of you when you're bumped by your spouse? Is it words of affirmation? Or is it words of anger? What happens to you when you're at work, minding your own business, doing your task, and maybe the employer mistreats you? You're bumped. What comes out? It shows your heart. So I'm challenging every one of us today. Allow Christ to come and say, hey, you need to get that root of bitterness out. There's some anger over there. There's some resentment. Hey, you got a touch of lust over here. And let the Lord come and say, hey, get it out. Don't overlook it. Move it. Now here's what, back to John 13 and I'm done. There's two hearts on display in this passage. You have Judas's heart, which is being influenced by Satan. And you have Jesus's heart that is being surrendered to the Father. One heart moving toward betrayal. Jesus's heart is moving toward sacrifice, laying down his life for our sins. One sought his own will. The other one said, not my will, Jesus, but thine be done. So I come unto you, not so much asking about your life today. I'm asking deeper, your heart. Satan will influence, but if your heart is filled up with Jesus, no room for Satan. Let me explain it like this. Let's say, pretend with me, that this is a throne. Now, it's a nice chair. I wouldn't mistake it as a throne. But pretend with me. Let's say it's a throne. And let's say it's a throne, not of your house, but of your heart. The throne is never empty. Somebody is always sitting on the throne. It's either you, it's either Satan, or it's the Lord Jesus. Being 100% transparent, who is sitting on the throne of your heart? Because that's going to determine where your life ends up. Every heart has a throne, and every throne has a ruler. Can I go back to our branch? Our little creek, grown up, nasty. Well, here's what we had to do. The boys would, and I was out doing something else, but the boys would be cleaning up, and they would miss something over here. And they would miss something over there. And they needed somebody to come in and say, hey, boys, you missed that sapling. I was gone one day and they were there working. They're hating the sermon right now. They were there working. I said, Tracy called me. She said, I think they're done. I said, baby, go down there and check. So she goes down and she says, hey, don't forget that over there. Don't forget this over here. Hey, you missed like 8 spots over there. Yesterday, Dad, we're done. I was like, let me come down there and make sure you're done. Let's just say they weren't done. A lot of times when we're dealing with the heart. All good. Oh, good. I said my bedtime prayer and forgive me of all my sins. I'm good. And Jesus says, what about that resentment you have for that neighbor? Ooh, that's going to take a while to get rid of. How about for that mother-in-law? Oh, no, we don't do mother-in-laws. How about that coworker who just has the ability to get under your skin? Can I show you one last verse and I'm done? David was a man after God's own heart. Here's what he said in Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Now look at the next verse. See if there be any. See that word, any? That's the little sapling. That's the middle-sized one, or that's the big one. God, search me. Now, he said in verse 1, you know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts before I even think them. And he comes at the end of the chapter and says, God, I want to take care of my heart. So the smallest root of bitterness, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Why? Because I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. That's the invitation I'm giving to you today. Ask God to search you. Today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day. See if there be any, the big ones, the little ones, the medium-sized one, any wicked way in me. And lead me, I'm following in the way everlasting.